The Sean Kennedy Show, regularly scheduled to be played at this time, has come under legal action. Sean has been told that he can no longer speak the truth about Scientology or other series of social issues. When asked about how he would deal with the charges, Sean stated, and I quote, "With an army of wog-built mecha and two-headed cats," end quote.
Once again, whoa, that was really loud. That was very loud.
I caught it just in time.
Save the speakers. Save the speakers. So how's it all going out there in Rant Radio Land today? All you wogs turning in to listen for your daily oral cleansing, or weekly oral cleansing as it were. Once I become a major superstar, then I can do daily oral cleansing. But until such one time, you get to have it only bi-weekly. Today's topic of today's show is hacker history. Know thyself in hack speak. It's very, very important to keep track of what's going on. A lot of people, you know, they hear about hackers a lot, but they don't actually know the history about what goes on in the hacker subculture. Where did that all come from? You know, what is a hacker? What's a cracker? What's a decker? What's a freaker? I think that all that, the hacker versus cracker argument is somewhat lame. And then there's lamers, too.
I eat crackers.
And then there's gamers, lamers, uh-huh. Crackers. I mean, whatever.
All falls under a big tree.
Yeah, and this is the big, you know,
big family of...
You know, whatever, and then, you know, I'm
computer nerds.
Yeah, you know, I'm a sub Mennonite Pentecostal, you know, Christian. Well, whatever, you know, like we're all kind of working in the same world here. So let's just kind of carry on with that. So once again, hello to all you wogs out there in Rant Radio Land. Glad we got a really good turnout on the IRC tonight. Before we go any further, you are free to copy this program,
distribute,
hand it out, give it to people you don't know, leave it in doctors' offices. Burned on CDs. Put it in people's mailboxes. Swap them with AOL discs. You know what would be?
They put them on CD now.
You know what I
want?
You know what I want to? What I want to see is I want to see somebody who works in an AOL factory get a hold of like the AOL mass production and do like a mass production of like the show and mail it out instead of the AOL disc, but with the AOL markings on it.
Stranger things have happened.
You know, that would
believe
be,
me.
That would be
pretty.
Yeah, that would be
good publicity.
That'd be wog power. Wog! I was in the IRC. I was looking around, and guys like, I live in a wog cabin. You know, this is not my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful life. But starting from the top, the IRC gradually getting bigger.
Welcome
once again.
Make sure you tell all your friends about the show.
Yes,
because my ICQ is like fucking up or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Way to go.
They updated it, and now I can't spam as good as I used to be able to.
Way to go.
Yeah, it's all
way
my
to go.
Fault.
Did you have you changed any of your settings?
Yes, I updated ICQ.
Oh, did you?
And it doesn't.
Why did you do that?
Because of the mass panic to do with ICQ. That if you don't update to like the latest version, there's backdoors into ICQ. All other versions besides the brand newest version of ICQ.
Well, join the fucking club. What, are you surprised by this?
Not surprised, but I updated anyway.
Oh, my God. Well, we're all cool. We're cool. Who'd want to hack us?
Oh, I know.
We're cool.
We're not targets.
We're down with the sickness.
I was in a big panic to get the show ready today.
That's right. Like, that's right. Because actually...
It wasn't working.
It wasn't working, and Sim was in here for like an hour doing shit and trying to get his world happening, and it wasn't.
It's on time. Out to that, out and out, their world, they don't know. They're like, oh, they the don't show's know. On they're again. Like, happy, happy.
There's Sim already. You people don't understand what it's
the pain
like for
I
me.
Go through.
Well, these are the people who do understand. Let's see. We got Homer, Smokehouse, once again. Breaker One is my god, I think. I can't read the whole thing. It's my dad. Whatever. Buck Axe, Creek Top, Dacid, AFK, Jekkerbite, Delamorta, Downhalo, Wog, ECSM, Eclipsich, Enki, Grendel, Kadath, hey Kadath, Kaxler, Crazy Fucking Wog, Lizard, Lieutenant Major Mulder, Mary Rebelled, Mary Rebel Virgin or Rebel Virgin. I can't actually, because my stupid screen is all gay. Why don't you make it bigger? It won't go over. It's not going to do it. Oh, it does. Look at that. Mary Rebel Virgin, Nomad Half Elf. Oh, wow, you can move that. Cool. Opie Dopey, Poison Cheeto, Pseudo, Prophet Zero Star, Rabid Wombat, RCD Disturbed, Red Five.
Some of these names. Red Five, welcome.
Is that actually
no,
Red
that's
Five?
Not our Red Five.
Oh, well.
That's another Red
it's
Five.
It's another Red Five.
But that's okay. Red yeah. Five is listening.
Red Five is listening.
He told me himself.
Hi, Red Five.
Hi.
You're a great big fat girl. Rooster, Tantrix, Test Subject, The Wind Down, Unix, Uberwog.
You got it right.
What?
Sean was saying the wind down before. And
I was not. You're lying. I never said
the
that.
The wind down.
Nope. Lie.
I'll
you
lie.
You don't have it on record. Yeah, I called it the wind
I
down.
I don't have it on record.
The wind down. Unix Uberwog, Wog Cabin, Transistor. Hey, that's pretty cool. I like Transistor.
That's very cool. Yeah.
Wog Cabin, Wog This Morning, Xenon Xavier, Zootroy Wog, and Labrat AFK. We got three awesome, awesome freaking pictures. Actually, four, if you want to count the flash animation.
They're coming in.
That is being made of Wog Mecha. Yes, that's right. The giant robots you and I will use to serve our Lord Master Xenu when we conquer the Earth and smote those crappy, nasty, nasty Scientologists. Yes, that's
and
right.
They need to be smoten.
They need to be smoten mightily. Oh, Lord, bless this thy holy heavy mecha.
I may change to Trillion or one of those things because ICQ is just not working for me.
Oh, really? What is yes. Trillion? Trillion's one of those
well,
other lead Axor apps?
There's some ICQ clone-like things that incorporate everything.
Oh, really?
They incorporate AIM, incorporate MSN Messenger, and ICQ all in one.
Really?
So you can have multiple lists. Very, very cool.
Wow, that is very, very cool.
Yeah.
See, that's
so I may change to that, actually.
That might be cool. If you do, let me know, because I want to check that out. Now we got a few people going on here, but don't worry. If we missed you on the first one, don't, like, all log out and be mad, because I'll be going through it again. Rooster. All right, that's FT Rooster.
I love Smokehouse's thing.
Where do I live? Where do I live? Yeah, I was at home today, and Ronan Sariot is out in Edmonton right now.
Yeah.
And he needed my address, and I was too damn lazy to go into the other room and look at a piece of mail.
So you externalized
so
your
I
data.
Just went, Smokehouse, I just sent you my address. Can you forward that back to me? And the worst part of it is, I was like, Smokehouse, where do I live? And he's like, I am like lead Axor. So he forwards me back my address, and I didn't even copy and paste it. I just forwarded the message he sent me over to Sariot.
Forwarded from Smokehouse.
Yeah,
forwarded
now,
from Sean.
Everyone be like, oh, Sean's so stupid. Am I? Am I really?
I guess I only
moved my finger. Like four times, and I had the address down, as opposed to having to actually type
there,
out my address.
There you go.
There you go.
You weren't that dumb.
That's right.
And guess what the IRC channel changed to right after that?
What?
Smokehouse, what's my address? Right at the top. Smokehouse took down the ad for the show tonight, so I had to change it back after. But it was funny while it was up there.
Oh, well, you know, everyone knows that I'm kind of a pinhead anyway, so it's not really a big deal. Alrighty, so on with the show. Let's
the
talk
show.
About the show. The show. Okay. The show.
Is it time to start?
Is it time to start?
Yeah, the music level is a bit high. Thank you, Lizard. I just turned it down.
The music level's a bit high. What are you doing?
I just turned it down.
You're fired. Get out.
But we're rocking out to the music.
Yeah.
Can you hear it? I guess.
Oh.
Can you?
I can sort of hear it.
Hear it in the other room, I think.
Yeah, you probably. It's like, we can't hear anything that's going on.
There's a lot of music.
Okay, so there's a lot of stuff on the internet where you can go around, and I'm not going to get really crazy heavy into the whole, you know, crackers versus freaker things. It's going to be kind of a general overline and information where you get some more. So a lot of these kids, you know, everyone's like, oh, the script kiddies, blah, 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 you know, all these script kiddies, I hate the script kiddies. Well, whatever, man. as long like there's always going to be people less and more talented in a field than you are, no matter what. You know, there's always someone who can kick your ass.
And using for good or evil.
Using
as
for
well. All the sides, all the spectrums, right?
Yeah, you know. So rather than get all wrapped up in who's a cracker and who's a decker and who's a hacker and who's a what and the what's it and the who's it and whatever, we're all wogs. All of us are wogs.
Deep down, really.
We're all wogs.
At heart.
And
you're out of water.
We're gonna. What's that?
You're out of water.
I am.
I'm gonna go get you some water.
Get me some water.
Okay.
Thanks. Water me twice daily. That's how dumb I am. Okay. Let's talk about the beginnings. When did it all begin? Let's go back to the very beginning. 1961 was the beginning of hacker culture. Now, I'm gonna make a footnote here. When we talk about hacker culture, okay, people are like, well, they're not really crackers, okay? It's better than saying the cyber culture or whatever you want to see. I'm talking about the hacker subset world, okay? Not the fact that hackers were originally programmers, blah, 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 okay? So I'm just going to be referring to sub in hacker culture to cyber culture, which is all of us. The people, the reason why we can broadcast this and get this information out to you now is because of this. You got to know your own history, you know? It's like what they say, you know, those who control the past control the living present and therefore the future. You have to make sure that you understand where all this information and technology came from so that you are able to say no and you can provide an educated response to people who ask questions and go, hey, what's that? What's this whole hacker thing about? Like, what's this whole internet thing about? You know, and you're able to give a positive response and educate people as to what is going on. That's important. It's important to do. It's important to know. So the beginnings of the hacker culture was actually in 1961, okay, was what I say it would begin. From the research I've done, I've gotten a few websites. I'll be posting more information so you can research this right to the ends of the earth, okay? It can be conveniently dated to the year MIT first acquired the first PDP-1. Okay, this is the Signals and Power Committee, MIT's Tech Model Railroad Club. Now, the committee of MIT's Tech Model Railroad Club adopted this machine as their favorite tech toy and invented programming tools, slang, and entire surrounding culture, which is still recognizable with us today. Now, so a lot of people, you know, you get on my page, they talk about, you know, lightning was striking and since the dawn of time, so the internet's been around since then because there was voltage hitting the ground,
and
whatever.
Data was carried in
the
lightning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the beginning of the internet. No, shut up, okay? The internet worth a damn, okay, was invented in 1961. All right, so we'll be moving on from there. The 60s, in the 60s, MIT's computer culture seemed to have been the first to actually adopt the term hacker. The Tech Model Railroad Club hackers became the nucleus of MIT's Artificial Intelligence Lab, and that became the world-leading center of AI research in the early 80s. So, you know, and MIT is. So I knew that MIT was deeply involved.
But I didn't know that much.
Yeah.
Wow. And a railroad club started
it
all?
The Tech Model Railroad Club is what they called it. So I guess that's what they still call it for whatever reasons they call it that.
Do you like your seat leaning forward? Because I can stop it.
Like, from leaning forwards or leaning back?
Leaning forward. Oh, and back, I guess.
Well, I'm okay.
Okay.
Don't touch my seat.
Okay.
Stay away from the chair. You know what I want to know? I want to know where you can get one of those really groovy, reclining kind of ergonomic chairs.
Oh,
with like
look
all Star Trek-ish, and you sit in them, and the monitor like
swings over to you,
swings
and
out in front
the
of
keyboard,
you. You know, if anyone could find those chairs, set me up because I want to know where I can get one of those. Those things are fat.
I think you're looking at them before, and they're like
so expensive. Yeah, but I mean, if I can get a good picture, I can make one. Right? We will reverse engineer Uber chair.
You're not allowed to reverse engineer. Is that illegal?
Probably. Probably. 1969, the ARPANET was the first transcontinental high-speed computer network. Now, ARPANET was built by DARPA, which is the Military Defense Department.
Wow, something good came out of the military.
Yes, besides the exoskeleton power armor they're working on now.
Ooh.
Yeah, which they've actually got some functional one. It was built by the Defense Department as an experiment in digital communications, but grew to link together hundreds of universities and defense contractors and research laboratories.
Thank God for that.
Link together universities, defense contractors, and research laboratories. Mm. I don't know how good that is. But anyway, the ARPANET was actually the very first internet.
Yeah.
And
computers all connected together, talking. And
you betcha. And that's and that same year, 1969, was the year that Bell Labs, a coder in there named Ken Thompson, invented a thing called Unix.
Whoa, Ken.
Go, Ken. All right, buddy. Now, from 1969 to 1973, okay, that was the real gestation of the subculture, okay? Everyone's like, well, you know, these guys doing code, stuff like that, okay? Personally, I don't, like, coders are part of the internet subculture, but in order for it to be a culture, you have to be networked and communicating.
Yeah, if you're just sitting in the basement by yourself, you're not really a culture. You know, maybe you're making culture, but...
Maybe you're doing something, but I don't think that's
culture
really
the growing
culture.
In your food.
I think that the real strength of the internet is communication with people and communication is the big thing. So if you're not communicating with anyone, then, you know, you're not really doing any good. Now, you're building... A lot of people are going to get their nose out of joint. Oh, I'm building apps, and that's what things... Okay, now, yeah. But if you're just building apps and you're not distributing them...
What are they doing?
What are they doing? I mean, wow, I have anti-gravity. I'm not going to give it to anyone, but I got anti-gravity.
It's mine. I'm going to walk on my ceiling
by
myself.
That's right. Come here. I'm going to watch what I can do with this cat. This is a funky stuff. No good. So from 6973, that's when, because since the ARPANET was up, that's when all the old school crew were running around.
Okay.
And they were jumping around in the ARPANET and sending information back and forth. And that's when everyone was getting... So it was during that time is when that was really coming into play. So just bear that in mind, from 69 to 73.
Before we were born.
Well actually, in 1973, that was my next point. 1973, I was born.
Yes.
So that's in the
that's
internet
the
timeline.
Beginning.
That's the beginning.
That's year zero, right?
That's year zero. Of,
resets, reset button.
That's right. That's right. Your very own Cyber Christ come to talk to you over here. 1972, the Internetworking Group is founded. 1972.
Internetworking, that sounds familiar.
The Internetworking Group is founded to govern the standards and develop network. And the standards of the developing network. Vinton Cerf. Or is it Cerf?
Kerf.
Kerf. C-E-R-F. Is the chairman known as, and he, this guy, was the dude known as the father of the internet.
Who?
Was Vinton Cerf.
Died this last year.
Did he?
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't Al Gore, as he'd like to state.
Yeah.
It was actually Vinton Cerf, who kicked off just a little while ago. You know, may his packets travel forever.
Yeah, I think he developed, like... the beginnings of TCP/IP and stuff like that.
Actually, that's a little bit later.
Is it?
I have that covered.
Okay.
But in 1973, that's why the ARPANET goes international. So in 73...
And Sean was born.
And after, when I was born, actually, it was the moment I was born, on October 23rd, 1973, that the internet broke free in very cool Johnny Mnemonic beginning. You know,
you know, 3D
out,
going
3D
through cities.
3D swimming through the internet and stuff. Yeah, that's exactly what I saw when I was being born. That was it. That was the... Yeah, anyway. 1974 to 1981, the ARPANET moves away from its research and military beginnings and becomes commercialized. Yay! Now... The good side and the downside of this is like Tokyo.
Right.
Tokyo is cool. Okay, Tokyo is very elite.
Yes.
However, it's the most advertising-saturated city in the world.
And filthy, too, it looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. But there's very little crime.
Because there's like a policeman on every corner,
yeah,
ready to kill you.
Yeah, and they have people pushers, and it's just crazy. It's just a crazy, crazy, crazy town. But Tokyo is very cool. So, I mean, I think that a certain amount of advertising cannot be avoided. I want to avoid it.
It
as much
funds
as
I, the internet.
It does fund it. Between
it
that,
it
games and porn, I mean, really, that's what funds it. Because God knows that all us hackers out there don't want to pay any money for nothing. You know, I mean...
That's right.
Seriously.
Free.
And that's okay, because, I mean...
If they think their pop-ups make money, all the more power to them.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I'm sure X10 has made a killing from their little...
Annoying us.
You can put your camera in your doghouse, the birdcage, the bedroom...
The shower.
You know, I'm making voyeurs of your boy and girl. Like, give me a break. So, now, from 1973, where am I here? So 1974 to 1990, the ARPANET moved away, blah, blah, blah. You made me lose my place.
There.
Oh.
That one. 73 to 75.
No. You missed this one here. You're so cracked out.
No, commercial.
In 1974, and becomes commercialized. In 1974, Bolt, Barnack, and Newman. You know, check that out. There's the name of a company. Bolt, Barnack, and Newman opens
Imagine
Telnet.
Answering the phones.
Bolt, Barnack, and Newman.
Bolt, Barnack, and Newman.
How can I help you? Welcome to Bolt, Barnack, and Newman. Sounds like a Warhammer 40K crew up club. opens Telnet, the first commercial version of the ARPANET. So the Telnet was actually a company opened in 1974 by Bolt, Barnack, and Newman.
Hmm.
From 1973 to 1975 was the very beginning of where... The subculture was like the 73, 75, the subculture was really catching on, and this is where the hacker jargon all came from. That all began in 1973 to 1975. Now, we're going to throw up on one of the original jargon files. This is from Tuxedo.org. These guys have, this is where Tuxedo.org is where I got a lot of this information. And they have some very, very, very cool information about what's the history of the internet. They get really heavy. They're a bunch of Linux Nazis. So they're all like, the big command line.
So take it with a grain of salt, I guess.
Well, no, it's all accurate, right? But, okay. I mean, there's a lot of information that you won't care about.
So not a lot of Windows stuff in there.
Yeah, not a lot of Windows stuff in there. But it's very cool. They have a lot of the hacker jargon and stuff like that. So if you want to be all elite and have no one understand you but people who are like 55, you can you can do this. And a very select 55-year-olds.
Read ancient English.
I may add, 1975, the first portable computer was marketed.
First portable computer?
Yes, 1975. Like, I'd like to know.
Did you need a wagon or like a...
Well, it's portable.
A trailer behind your car?
That's all I got was 1975. That stated, it was 1977 when Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak created Apple computers.
Wozniak?
Wozzle? Whipple ball bat. 1977. So the Apple computer was created 2 years after this. You can imagine what that first portable computer was.
And it was made of wood. The first case for the Apple.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
but that's
very weird looking.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's because they had no money, basically,
Apple,
not because
the
they thought
Apple
it looked
Mark
cool.
One. Yeah, no, that's true. But that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's all right. 1979, the first Usenet group was created by Tom Truscott and Jim Ellis.
They rule my world.
They are
Usenet pretty, groups rock.
Yeah, like Tom Truscott group. And Jim Ellis, now people of all over can join in discussion groups. Okay, and that's as of 1979.
And download South Park.
And download South Park. And
all the latest movies.
And all the porn, alt binaries, multimedia, erotica.
There
you
go.
You know, get in there.
So bow to them.
Bow to them.
Send them $5 or a coupon for coffee.
I think everybody should send them $5. You know, really.
Because they're that cool. They probably have made no money off of it.
Probably
it's like
not,
an open source
probably
thing.
Probably not a damn
nothing.
Thing. You know, we should see if we could get them an interview.
That'd be
phone
cool.
Phone them up and get them an interview with those guys. They'd probably be like, well, are you going to give us money? Well, no.
Oh, same old, same old.
You know, yeah, whatever. But, no, it's very, very cool. And actually, before there was Napster, guys, there was all kinds of free music floating around the internet. And you know what? I actually prefer the news groups for getting my music.
I went back to them again.
Yeah, you do, because you eventually run out of music.
And you can't think of any more. How
yeah,
are you supposed
so
to discover new
where
music?
Where do you go? Alt binaries, industrial, gothic, MP3.
Right on.
You bet. And you hit there, and they got all the good stuff.
And guess what? They post the whole album.
Yeah, the whole album, usually with covers and CD scan.
Yeah.
And you can just get in there, take a look at what's going on, and you can download Free Agent from Two Cows.
There you go.
You know.
Or Nomad News is what I use.
Oh, is that what you use?
Yeah. Free Agents is not great for binaries. Well, I find anyway.
I have no problem with it. But, you know, I usually get people turned on to news groups.
Oh, yeah.
Free Agent. If you want to know what your news server is, bring up your DOS prompt. Type in ping space news. Hit enter. That'll give you your IP address. Hard code that
usually
IP address in there. And once you hard code in your IP address, don't just put in news, because sometimes that DNS stops working properly. So hard code in the IP address for your news, and bang! Just refresh your group lists, yeah. And you're good to go.
If you don't know about news groups, get into them.
Oh, they're fat. They're so fat. They're so, oh, my God.
It's like a bulletin board for the world.
Yeah, Tom Truscott and Jim Ellis get, like, the big ninja bow.
Whoa. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm seriously, when the WOG Armada build our first international Star Cruisers, there will be the USS Tom Truscott and the Jim Ellis. The news group WOG troop
news
carriers.
News group one and news group two.
Yeah, there you go, and that's what it'll be. It'll be mighty. That was in 1979 they did that. In 1980, UseNT Bulletin Board began broadcasting information. Usenet was a network of... Oh, actually, Usenet...
Usenet
was created. Yeah, there was a misspelling there. Sorry. In 1980, the Usenet Bulletin Board began broadcasting information. Usenet was a network of Unix machines that could talk to each other.
Oh, so it just sat there for a year,
well,
talking to itself.
Well, making the thing do its thing. I mean, come on, that's some pretty serious beta there.
Oh, yeah.
In 1981... IBM created its own personal computer.
They got out of the big room warming machine.
The iron mainframes. Yeah, as they're known in the business. Now, it wasn't. It was between 1982 and 1987 that the ARPANET is recognized as the Internet. Okay, and this was the time of the big speech, the Information Superhighway speech, I believe. No, that was a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when that was.
Yeah, the information. There was a big speech. I think
that's
it was,
pretty recent.
Yeah,
information
that was
superhighway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but anyway,
is that Bill Clinton?
That was Clinton. That
yeah,
did that in 82 to 87. The ARPANET was recognized as the internet and the language of computers. Language of computers on the internet, or the protocol as we call it, computer world. TCP/IP, Transmission Control Protocol, Internet Protocol, is created. So it was right from 1982 to 1987 that was developed and implemented.
And it's still here today.
And it's still running around. God bless TCP/IP. 1982, Unix hackers from Berkeley began Sun Microsystems. They put Unix on less expensive workstations.
Drive down those prices.
You betcha.
Clones, and, clones, clones.
And, of course, after the Sun Microsystems became more developed, and they drove up the prices.
So I don't know. That's right, and kept them there.
I don't know if you've ever actually seen what a Sun Microsystem costs, but they're not cheap.
No, no. And they're not even, like, unless you spend gobs of money, you're not even going to get a good one.
No, it's not even worth it. In 1983, the hacker film War Games was released. Now, this was a really monumental film. 83.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually kind of fun to watch because you see he's got the phone
it's
and he actually
fun.
Looks at, yeah, you know, you know.
It's like old school.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, how to conquer the earth with an Atari.
And I think it rocked a lot of people's worlds. I saw it in the theater multiple times.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
It came out.
A very cool... very cool concept.
Got me into computers,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I wanted to
deeply more entrenched into them than
I was. Oh, yeah. You bet. 1984, AT&T made a version of Unix, which promptly died. 1984. Because it got hit by a snowspeeder, tied up, and Luke Skywalker went up and got it neutered. In 1984, the Hacker Magazine 2600, the Hacker Quarterly, was created.
I just got my latest issue today.
Yes, and the cover of the latest issue of 2600 is part of the... it might even... I don't know where this is actually from, but this is a law that's been put into...
It's a War Measures Act
that's been parked. That's been put into place now. And this is actually what's on the cover of the latest 2600 magazine. A person who, without permission of lawful authority, while in the United States is at war... while the United States is at war or threatened with war, makes or attempts to make... Okay, so... let me just translate this from legal speak. So it's anybody in the United States, okay, who tries or thinks about trying, okay, now, next part, or has in his possession or attempts to attain or aids another to obtain any map, drawing, plan, model, description, or picture of any military camp, fort, armory, arsenal, or building in which munitions of war are stored, or of any bridge, road, canal, dockyard, telephone, or telegraph line, or equipment, wireless station or equipment, railway or property of any corporation subject to the supervision of a public service board, or of any municipality or part of thereof, shall be imprisoned for not more than 10 years. So that means if you try to access and broadcast data, and they don't like it about anything having to do with tech, you can do 10 fucking years. Thanks for coming out.
I love those laws that cover everything.
Yeah, that's...
don't move or you're going to jail.
That's some pretty seriously blanketed stuff, man. That's like, holy cow.
You hear about these laws come up all the time.
Okay. Like, at this stage, I'd like to make a point of things you want to do now. You're like, whoa, that's pretty intense. If you want to be part of the hacker subculture, the cyberculture... okay, you have to learn, okay, and don't, like, there's a lot of pretentious people out there, a lot of people jumping up and down saying, oh, you know, you're elite, whatever, okay, we're all elite, great, you know, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around, okay, who cares, okay, but you have to learn. If you want to fight and you want to help these kind of things, check out the Electronic Frontier Foundation, okay, and subscribe to 2600. Okay, it's cheap.
It's a really good magazine.
It's an awesome magazine. I cannot open one of those things without learning something. Okay, they're amazing. Okay, while you still can. Okay, seriously. Not to go all Sally Struthers here, but seriously, guys.
Subscribe now.
You got to subscribe to these guys because they are fat. They're very fat.
And I don't know if they still have it on, but if you register 2600.whatever country,
yeah,
they'll give you a lifetime subscription to the magazine.
Nice. So if you're like in, if we got people who download this show in like, I don't know,
Norway,
Canada,
Italy.
Norway, if you get the domain 2600.whatever and you give it to them, you get a free lifetime subscription. So until they put you in the ground, and then if you put a little mail slot, they'll drop them into your coffin. Okay? Or your cryogenic tube, because, you know, we're all getting frozen. Anyway.
And if you get them 2600.mil, they'll, like, worship you forever or something.
Oh, really?
Because, well, that's impossible.
Can't get it. The military.
Military, yeah. Or EDU. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, but any of the domains, if you can get it, they love that stuff. So 2600, 1984, baby. Way to go.
I'll give you a hint. I have the .ca.
Yeah. actually, our very own Sumerian was the guy who scored 2600.ca.
Lifetime subscription.
Lifetime subscription for Sumerian. But that's pretty cool.
It is.
And he was actually shitting his pants.
I bought the book before I got that subscription. So
yeah, but, you know, when they were all going to go to jail and they were suing everybody that had anything to do with it, Sam was like, but he stood his line. He stood there. He didn't hide.
He didn't take it down.
And that was pretty good because the shells were flying. So
Works out
okay. In the mid-1980s, personal computers were making accessing the Internet cheap and easy. This was the golden age of hackers. Was between, I'd say, 1983 to 1987. Okay? That was when, you know, nobody in the mainframes had a goddamn clue.
You could run wild.
And you were, if you even had a clue, you were gone. Okay, it was like, no, you think so, Mr. Garrison? You will give me a bad mark. I will turn off the phones to your zip code.
And you could.
Yes, and you could.
Because nobody knew anything about anything.
And you were a living, walking, breathing terror. This is where many of the legends of guys from the internet and stuff like that, these, you know, there's a 4-year-old child who had a Hershey bar and he took over the earth and fired nuclear missiles at Iraq. You know, like, whatever. So this is where these really wacko legends you get. You know, everyone's heard the one about the kid in the basement that they caught who had arthritis in his hands because he was hacking. You know, these suburban myths of hackers, you know. What about that guy, you know? Oh, come on, give me a break.
Paperclip and the chewing gum and shut down the power grid.
Yeah, and he shut down the world and we had to stop and Xenu landed. In 1986, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act and the Electronic Communications Privacy Act were passed.
Okay? You know, because existing laws don't cover it.
Yeah, in 1986. Yeah. So that was when everyone was like, whoa, for the last, you know, 5 years, we've been getting our ass kicked. I think we better, what, nobody has any knowledge? Quick, make a law.
That's right.
Don't know what we're doing. We got a big education gap. Don't teach anybody. Don't hire these kids. Make a law. Make
it
illegal.
Fix the computers. Throw them in jail.
You bet. You know what you're doing. Quickly get in that cell. There you go. You get ass rammed by some 900-pound psycho.
What'd you do? I pressed some keys.
What did you do? I made a phone call. Oh, you're terrible. You're a horrible human being.
Put them in the cells with the child rapists.
From 1988 to 1990, hackers on the internet become a concern. This was the beginning of when everyone was really freaking out. It was those 2 years that the vilification of hackers became a reality. This is where they started being referred to as super predators. That was back. Those were when all the really cool but useless books like Secrets of a Super Hacker by Nightmare came out. Okay, this was all, you know, the really bad books. But that said, it was during the 80s that Cyberpunk, this is from Steve Jackson Games, there was a lot of these crackdowns that happened and people got arrested for having role-playing games about
witch trials.
Witch trials, hacker, you know. You know, and it's just like, it just gets really, really wacko. So you
there's so much misinformation around.
Oh, yeah.
Like people don't know anything about it.
And again, this is just general knowledge, okay? This is very, very, very skimming because I've only got an hour to go over this kind of stuff, okay? So if you want to know more about this, like, research any of these things and like, feed your head, okay? So that was the golden time of the vilification of hackers. That's when we all became bad guys, just in case you're wondering. It was between 1980 and 1990. That was the media pricks basically took us out and crucified us. In 1988, the computer worm created by the hacker Robert Morris crashes 6,000 computers on the internet. So
accidentally.
Yeah, he accidentally let it go. Yeah, and he...
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. Well, I'm sure he probably was, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't mean it! I was cleaning the worm, and it just got loose. Yeah, whatever,
started
pal.
Eating things.
And it just took over, and yeah, whatever, I'm going to jail. 1988, the Computer Emergency Response Team, CERT, is created to address network security. the Computer Emergency Response Team,
yep.
CERT.
I get emails from them every week.
Do you?
Yeah, telling me of the latest exploit. They're the ones who told me about ICQ.
Really?
Yeah, they had a few mistakes in the email they sent me, but I muddled through it. And,
are they any good or what?
Oh, yeah. They're really good. They stay on top of things really quick.
Are they, so are they
you
like...
You can get on their mailing list.
Oh, really?
Good for alerts about printer ports that have gone awry and stuff that
oh, really?
You can hack into. It's all about hacking.
Really?
Yep. They tell you about bad stuff. So get on their mailing list.
Are they?
For
are
sure.
they? What do you do to get on their mailing list?
Go to their webpage. I'm sure it's right on the front page.
What is it?
Sign up to
CERT.com.
CERT.org, I believe.
CERT.org.
Yep.
In 1989, The Cuckoo's Egg is written after Clifford Stoll, a sysadmin, catches the hackers who had broken into his system. Now, I've read The Cuckoo's Egg. As a matter of fact,
really?
Funny enough,
yeah.
Yes. Funny enough, it was The Cuckoo's Egg that got me into computers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If it wasn't for Clifford Stoll, I wouldn't be thinking... It was really cool back then, because in the 80s, like, my family, like, we couldn't afford to have a computer, and I asked for a computer, and they gave me this NEC clone fucked up thing, and it was all, I wanted a Commodore like everybody else did.
I got a Commodore.
Yeah, you got a Commodore, and, you know...
All my friends got Commodores.
But I got, you know, this Radio Shack thing.
TRS-80?
No, it wasn't. No, it was an NEC graphics thing. I don't even know what that.
Did it do anything?
I learned how to program. I was doing the 10, go to 10, print,
oh,
all that
okay.
kind of stuff.
Well, that's good. I learned that on the Commodore, too. Same stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But it's all networking.
But
right?
I got
so,
games, too.
But since none of my friends could help me with this game, I mean, I was basically screwed. So, once again, thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. But at that time, I got my hands on a copy of The Cuckoo's Egg by Clifford Stoll.
Yeah.
And if you guys find it, it's out of print now, but if you hit used bookstores, you can pick this thing up. The Cuckoo's Egg is all about this guy who found a 2-cent discrepancy in a paycheck. And he starts tracking it and tracking it. And he winds up tracking it. It's a true story. And
yeah.
he tracked it to Russia. And the KGB arrested a guy who was, like, running around inside of medical systems. And, like, and these were mainframes that were controlling, like, x-ray machines.
Yeah.
So, like, he hits the wrong number. And the person inside the x-ray machine and the CAT scan gets, like, the CAT scan turns into a microwave. And things go bad from there.
Is this the one where they took pennies off of percentages that go into the
no,
bank?
No, that's a salami worm. That's a type of stealing money. This guy,
okay.
because he was in there, he screwed up and it made a discrepancy.
Oh.
And our man Cliff hunted this dude down. A very, very cool book, by the way. If you guys want to pick that up and read that, very, very cool book. The 1990. Okay, now this is something I didn't know. In 1990, the ARPANET was closed.
Hmm. Must have transitioned over enough.
Yeah, but I didn't know they shut it down. And apparently in 1990, the ARPANET was shut down. Now, I wonder if they removed all the hardware.
It's just sitting there.
Did they just turn a switch?
Probably a bunch of garbage right now. Doesn't do much.
No, there's wires there.
Yeah, there's wires.
There's wires there, man.
Melt them down, I guess.
No. Well, you got to understand, the ARPANET was designed to withstand a nuclear attack.
Oh, yes, okay.
So destroying something like that
would be very... Why does email go down all the time?
Very, very hard. It would be very hard.
Yes.
To destroy something like that. So... You know, you could probably have...
Well, it was more the infrastructure of the Internet,
yeah.
that there were so many lines everywhere interconnecting. That's why it wouldn't go down. Because if you nuked a certain area of the United States, the rest of the United States would function because it's all connected.
But the ARPANET was big.
Well, yeah, it connected probably the whole states, right?
So I'm just wondering, did they physically remove all the hardware? Or
yeah,
did
probably
they
just the back end.
You think so?
And just reuse the lines.
Oh, probably
those lines are torn down, too, and replaced by now. I mean, that's 10 years ago. Well, maybe not. Actually, things stay for a long time.
So we'll see. We'll
anyway.
See. But also in 1990, the Secret Service cracks down on hackers during Operation Sun Devil.
Sun Devil.
Operation Sun Devil. This was when they arrested people from Steve Jackson Games for their horrible cyberpunk book.
Evil.
Evil.
You're teaching people how to hack.
Yeah, with this role-playing game.
Or just playing games.
Should it be so easy? I rolled a 20. Do I get access to the server?
You get to go to jail.
Great. 1991, the Gopher is created, which is the first point-and-click way of navigating the files of the Internet.
Yes.
Was Gopher.
I think I went on the Internet at that point, and it sucked ass.
It probably
that's when I first went on the Internet.
Beta!
Like,
beta Gopher!
It's
right
like,
here.
The Internet's so amazing, man. You gotta go on. It's like, no pictures. It's all text. And it's like, how do I even get any information?
This
it's like
is horrible.
Nothing on
this
it.
Sucks so bad.
But I did discover Usenet then.
Like, did you?
I think it was a couple years later.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was the first thing. Before web pages, I was on newsgroups.
Wow, you're
and
so elite.
They were amazing.
They are very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. 1991, the Michelangelo virus was scheduled to crash computers, but nothing happened. Everyone remembers that in 91. Now we're getting within the memory of probably most of our listener base because they're like, you know, quite young.
Yeah.
they're a lot younger 13, than 14. I am. Well, no, because in 91 there was the Michelangelo, will kill us all.
I remember that on TV.
You know, and that's why in Hackers, the film Hackers, if you actually watch it, the guy makes a pseudo-virus, which makes a phone call, and there's a picture, and the picture is of a guy, but it looks like a drawing from Leonardo da Vinci. And Leonardo da Vinci was the guy who,
he's the inventor.
Right? Yeah, he's the inventor, and Michelangelo was another great inventor from that era. So it's kind of because it was Leonardo da Vinci, it was kind of a crossover back to the Michelangelo.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's a subtle reference to that.
I remember back in 91, whenever if I saw anything on the news about computers or a computer show, I went nuts because you didn't hear anything about
stuff
back then.
That's right.
Oh, my God, they're computers. Or you saw an email address? It's like mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Now it's like, boring.
Now you find it like, you know,
annoying.
Part of people's tags. In 1993, now this, I had no idea, like, it's funny because you're around computers so much. Now it's like 1993 wasn't that long ago.
Computers evolve so amazingly fast.
Like in 1993, Mosaic, the first graphics-based web browser, is created.
I remember using that. It was interesting. Like really bad GIF graphics, really blown up.
Yeah, but
garbage.
I mean, 93, that was only like, what was that? That was like 9 years ago?
Yeah.
9 years ago. We've gone from streaming media and flash-based WogMecha destroying the Earth in 9 years. That's crazy. It was 1994 when the Russian Vladimir Levin, created a hacker group in Russia and hacked into a Citibank. And what his big claim to fame was he actually got inside of a bank machine and made it spit out like a couple $100,000, or he dumped
Rock.
A bank machine. Yeah, that's the famous, he's in the Hacker Hall of Fame. I'm going to be doing a who's who in the second part of the show.
Oh,
so you know, what's up?
All the big names.
You betcha. And that Russian guy, Vladimir Levin.
He gets tops, huh?
He's one of the high ups, yeah. 1995, Kevin Mitnick is incarcerated on charges of wire fraud and illegal possession of computer files stolen from such companies as Motorola and Sun Microsystems.
95. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's pretty
well, that's
wacky.
The first time he went to jail, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, that was the first time he went to
jail. Because he wasn't in jail for that long. We were talking about him like...
But Kevin Mitnick was... I mean, there was that other guy, Tetsuo Zimura, or whatever the hell his
name
is.
That's the guy.
The guy who busted Mitnick.
Yeah.
I'm kind of... You know, the funny thing is that in the film Hackers, which was also released in 95, the movie Hackers and The Net are released in 95, which... made everybody go insane.
I never saw The Net. That looked just awful.
The Net was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It was probably better than Hackers.
Really?
I mean, oh, yeah. It was just bad.
Oh, they're both way over the top.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, the sensationalization of Hackers. But,
another fly-through 3D world.
Yeah,
that's how we see the internet.
Fuck, I wish the internet was like that. You know, I really do.
It'd be interesting. Probably be, like, so inefficient.
Efficiency.
I'm going to fly to the webpage.
I want to do something cool. If I could build like a 3D, like that's one thing I'd love to do. Like if I had the money, I would build a 3D OS.
Yeah.
That does that.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be fat.
Are they fully immersible? Like
Immersible, you know, like 3D effects. You know, one of the what are those called? 3D.
I don't know how I ended up in Porn Town.
World. You know, like it'd be crazy.
I was just turned the corner, walked down the street, and there's smut signs all over the place.
I just picked up a pamphlet. And I didn't realize it would link me to this, but it's crazy. But it was 95 when the Hackers and the Net came out, and you know the funny thing is about Hackers was that they said at that time. The bad guy goes, you know, there is no more countries and there is no more worlds and all that kind of jazz. And we actually have a clip from it we're going to play after the halftime music here. But
do we?
Yeah, sure. The Hacker Manifesto.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Right.
And that's by Mentor. Was the first guy who actually wrote that. Not back in the day. But... the bad guy in that show, made a statement about how, you know, there are no more countries anymore. We're all individuals like operatives. And this is where the whole Shadowrun and cyberpunk world is where, and that's basically what it comes down to for a lot of the cyberculture. And this is what a lot of the corporations and countries don't like is because we all decide our own laws. I mean, we break the law every day. Everybody breaks
like
the law.
Like corporations don't do that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They believe in one world,
of course,
too.
But they want to keep the slaves. They want to keep the serfs, you know, happy. You know what I mean? So what they do is they got their own laws, and we have our own laws. And everybody has, and only we call our own personal laws. Everybody's got a code.
Yep.
You know, people like, I don't screw over my friends. You know, I won't try to blade my buddy to get his job. I won't try to do that. You know, I won't, you know, I won't ultimately lie to people. You know, I won't do any of that kind of stuff. I'll try to do what I say.
Yeah.
You know, that those kind of things. Like,
Try to live by your rules.
And you try to live by those codes. Otherwise, you're, you know, a sociopathic piece of shit.
That's right.
You know, and that's just the truth. So what you got to do is you have to determine what your own personal rules are. And then from those people, you can have the ethics. And that's where we get into hacker ethics and what is the ethics of this, la, la, la. Like, I personally would never copy programs and sell them.
Sell them, no.
There are people who do that.
That's my line, too.
Give me $10, I'll give you a CD with whatever you want on it, right?
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that's right. I also don't agree with making money with software that you've downloaded for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't like profiting off of other people's things.
You bet.
They do.
If I just want to, you know, if I just want to make a radio station.
Yeah.
And we're broadcasting for free.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's making any money. You know, there's no reason why we should be.
That'd be nice.
You know, it would be nice. But, you know, if we all got purchased for a couple $100,000, yeah, I'd be writing a few checks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you bet. And a lot
money
of people
would go out to the people that deserve it.
You betcha. You betcha. And I'd happily pay it, too. And probably include a bonus in a car if I could afford it for them. Because, goddamn, guys, thanks a lot, you know. Very, very cool. Very, very cool.
And there's a list of them right there.
It was in 1996 when hackers altered the websites of the U.S. Justice Department, the CIA, and the Air Force. That was when they all kind of went all cracked out, just crazy, crazy, crazy. It was at that time in 96 when 40 million people were connected to the Internet.
That's big numbers.
That is. If you go to ThinkGeek, actually, they have a map of the Internet, a visual map of the Internet, which looks really super duper cool.
Is that like an interconnected, the lines?
Yeah, it's like all the lines of light, and it's on a black background, and they have all these light connected.
That's
it looks
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah, it looks like a world. It's just freaking neat.
You get
that
on a t-shirt?
No, it's a poster. It's
really?
A big map poster. Yeah, very cool.
Wow, that's cool.
Very cool. You want to think about cool presents for your Lee Hacks or friends.
Map of the Internet.
ThinkGeek.com, is it? Think
Dash. Maybe org.
Or
net.
ThinkGeek.
Somebody find that out.
Map of the Internet, you'll find it. It's pretty cool. It's very, very cool, though. So, it was in 96, and that's when we had 40 million people connected. 1997, a 15-year-old Croatian youth apparently penetrated computers at the U.S. Air Force Base in Guam. Now, this is very common even today, where people want to get access to the CIA. What they'll do is they won't try to hack, you know, the one in Virginia. They'll try to hack the one that's in, you know, I don't know, Botswana or something.
Go for the quiet ones.
Because the quiet ones that are way the hell out on the fringes, no one's got any key code access. Nobody knows what they're doing. The security might be a little bit more lax. So
there's
you can get in there.
There's something missing in this timeline. Where's Sneakers?
Oh, that film. Yeah, Sneakers.
Sneakers rocks.
Sneakers rocks.
That was like a really accurate movie, too. Very, very close. There were some weird things in there, but I didn't find very many that were
off. There was a couple of things that was kind of cool. But Sneakers with Robert Redford and Sidney Poitier. If you want to watch a cool movie.
That's the one.
Yeah, Sneakers is the shit. It's probably one of the best hacker films I've ever seen. Very, very cool. Talks about cryptography and just go get it. Very, very cool movie. Very, very cool movie. 1998 was the time when the New York Times website was defaced to show anger for the imprisonment of Kevin Mitnick. So that was the time when the New York Times got...
Free Kevin!
Free Kevin! That was the beginning of the great free... Well, it wasn't really the beginning, but this was part of the great Free Kevin craze that was going all over everywhere. And it was in 1998 when two hackers in China were sentenced to death for hacking into a bank and stealing money.
Wow.
So now China is not really known for its leniency. You know,
you do anything, you die.
It goes, what you do? Spit on sidewalk, bang, you die now. Wrong die. So
sure fixes things, I guess. Puts people in fear.
You know, it was true, but they were hacking again in half an hour. You know, so no big deal. You know, it's bad, and they usually charge the family for the bullet. Like, how's that an insult for injury? Yeah. They charge the family like 37 cents for the bullet that they used to kill your kids.
Just an insult.
Wow, what a bunch of cocksuckers. So I'd like to find out what those guys, you want to talk about a good album name. You get the names of the two hackers who were killed for... Of course, they hacked into a bank and stole money. So they were actually thieves.
Yes.
Not so much hackers.
That was the ends, the means to the end, is the hacking.
Yeah,
they just wanted to steal money. And
just because I use a gun doesn't mean I'm a criminal, right? Just because I know how to shoot doesn't mean I'm a sniper. Okay?
That's right.
And just,
the things are completely separate.
So the hacking is, you know, they're like, well... Obviously, then this is where ethics comes into play. Obviously, if you can do it and not get caught, you will do it, because we have no ethics, so neither do you.
That's right.
And it's the politicians who, you know, are Republican bags of shit, and they just go out and, you know, they don't care. Their ethics are controlled by what they can get away with without going to jail. And even then, you know, I mean, they're horrible people. In 1998, the U.S. Attorney General, Janet Reno, announces the National Infrastructure Protection Center. Okay, and this was one of the centers that was created to do just research on the hacking problem. The hacker problem.
That just won't go away.
Yes.
And they'll get rid of drugs and terrorism at the same time, won't they?
Yeah. It was also in 98 when an Israeli youth who went by the handle The Analyzer allegedly hacked into the Pentagon computers with the help of from California teenagers. And his name was Ehud Tenenbaum. He was 20 years old, was charged in Jerusalem in February of 99 with conspiracy and harming computer systems. Now, all he did was from Jerusalem. Like, the way I see it is Israel is not really at odds with the United States. I mean, why would they care about that? You know what I mean? Like, whatever. But the really cool thing there is that is an international computer crime where teenagers in one country got help from teenagers in another country to gain access to government database.
Mm.
I think that's fucking cool.
That is.
I do. I think that's very
cool.
Just
the whole thing of it is cool.
That
people helping people.
People helping people defeat the evil government. It was also in 1998 when the famous Loft, when the Loft crew spoke to the Senate about network security issues. This was the big one that was on TV, and they were all looking all scraggly and all hackers with the math hair, you know, bald on top, long hair on the sides.
Yep.
And one dude was like, all looked like Chewbacca, only fat, and he was like sitting in a chair. The other dude looked like, you know, Lurch from the Addams Family, and they're all sitting there, you know, just uber elite. Like, what elite is, you know? I mean, like, these guys are power flexing on TV.
Whoa.
Right now. I am a living god. I am the embodiment of all that these people fear. And they said, you know, they call for the justice, who was at the time, called for it, and he said, I'm trying to remember what his name is here. Do I have it down? I thought I might.
A lot of these hackers just call out for better network security.
Well, that's what they say. That's what they say. It was in 1998 when the Senate... In front of the Senate, they called for. They said, "How much damage could you do to the infrastructure, United States, the internet system?" And like this dude leans forward and goes, "I can turn the internet off in 30 minutes." And he leans back in his chair, and they're terrified. They're terrified of these guys, you know.
Now with DOS attacks, I believe it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They take down things. They just
well,
say,
they were gonna
there.
They were gonna take
down
out the routers, right? That was the big idea.
Yeah,
they were gonna do the smackdown on the. on the routers. So that was the idea there.
Denial of service on you.
Yeah, and denial of services are pretty effective.
Yeah.
Can't really stop them.
No, you have to go to the root of every single one of them. It's very difficult to shut them down.
And it was 1999 when Kelly Air Force Base was attacked by hackers, but the hackers were detected and stopped.
It sounds funny.
Sounds like
attacking an Air Force Base.
Attacking an Air Force Base. Whoop, whoop, whoop. The klaxons were going off, you know. and this is where we start getting into Americans justifying their budget.
Pour more billions into hacker.
In 1999, the United States Information Agency was hacked, and a lot of files were stolen. Never caught the people who did it. 1999, President Clinton has announced he has set aside $1.46 billion for a plan to improve government computer security. $1.46 billion.
That's a lot of money.
To improve government computer security.
How long does it take to install all those patches?
$1.46 billion. How about we take that money, okay? I will hold a competition across Canada and the United States open to everyone, okay? And we'll educate just people who are interested in computers to learn for themselves. Like, we do minimal stuff. You order the book, you get the book, you read the book, and after you're all said and done, you hire all these people and give them all jobs so that they you have, like, oh, a couple hundred thousand people who are dedicated to making sure your networks are secure. So the government has, like, just some sysadmins who have, like, say, a schmick. Yeah. In February of 1999, now this is a good one here.
Okay.
Unidentified hackers seized control of British military communications satellite and demanded money for return of satellite. Now,
there's some balls.
There's some balls. However, the Brits denied them. The British military said that satellites were all where they should be and doing what they should be doing.
Of course they'd say that.
Okay.
Why wouldn't they say that? That's what all government agencies say. Everything's fine.
And a lot of,
it comes out
a lot of knowledgeable sources, though, including the Hacker News Network, called the hijacking highly unlikely.
Well, they could have said, we have control of it, but we haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, that's right. You know, hey.
Just a lot of fear.
I've got control of all the satellites and the moon. Give me $10 million or I'll smash the moon down into your planet.
Bring it to my house. Here's the address. And how do they get the money to the guys without it being traceable?
Denial of service is an interesting thing. That's the big buzzword now. Yes. It's a denial of service situation. Funny thing, I had a friend of mine who was in the store, and he does a lot of stuff concerning cameras over the internet, security cameras in secure buildings.
Right.
Okay.
Inside and out.
It's not, it's like security cameras. And you know how they're using to broadcast these pictures back and forth now?
The internet.
They're using the internet to do it. But you know what? There's no encrypted signal. Their security, I'm not making this up, their security is that the camera system will only accept one person logged in. And you're supposed to be logged in all the time. And there's a password.
Okay, yes.
So, one quick trip to atlavista.box.sk. I denial of service the IP address where I know this thing is.
Yeah.
I log on. It asks me for a password. Insert crack whore of choice here.
Works at it for an hour or so.
Yeah, from their freely downloadable software off the web, and bang, you've got like a VNC-style connection to their inner workings of their cameras. Like, holy crap, dude. And he said this to me.
Yeah.
And I wigged. I went completely insane. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Right? And he's like, no. It only accepts one connection. And
so?
And at that stage, I went, okay then. And that
You're
was it.
All okay.
So we're at the halftime here, which is now 9 o'clock.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. Lucky me. So we're going to play Wear Body Armor, which was a tune I did a while back, and I thought I should revamp just for kicks, because I thought it kind of kept in with the whole the modern of hacking. And then we're going to go over some of the big names in hacker subculture. And so let's check that out. Also, if you get any cool music, you should, or if you hear of a band that's, industrial, we're not interested in punk, we're not interested in a lot of
rap,
no Jewigers, none of
heavy
that.
Metal.
No heavy metal.
Light rock.
No Michael Bolton, okay. Even the guy from Office Space, okay, none of that. But if you got something cool, you can info@rantradio.com and we'll check it out.
Anything about the show. Send it to info@ramradio.com.
Yeah, and lots of Mecha Designs. Keep the Mecha Designs.
Because I'll put up a page for next week and everyone can take a look at
this. Mecha! Okay, so let's play that.
Okay.
To my fellow upper and lower class, wear body armor. If I could offer you only one piece of advice for the future, body armor would be it. Benefits of body armor have been proven in scientific laboratories, and our society is going to hell in a handbasket in a rocket-assisted fashion. All my other advice pertains to trying to live some kind of a decent life. You can listen to it, or you can tell me to stuff it, but I'll dispense my advice now. Life is hard. Once you accept that fact, you will find that you're not so disappointed when you screw up. The pain you feel from screwing up in life will remove weakness from your body, but it still sucks. Don't take too many drugs that mess with your brain, or by the time you're 40, you'll act like you're 2. Have a backup. Don't put too much faith into your computer or society. You never know when either one might crash. Get a good night. You beware of anyone who leads others with any kind of religious or righteous fervor. They invariably burn books and hurt people. Don't get too high on your moral high horse. The only difference between right and wrong is the number of people who agree with you. Stash guns, money, and fake ID, because you might need them at some point. If you don't, someone you know will. Read. Beware of cults, churches, and multinational corporations. They all want to control you and rob you of your soul. Try not to break the law. It complicates things. But if you're going to do it, think it through and do it big. Nothing's more embarrassing than doing time for some bullshit reason. Avoid violence as much as you can, but if it happens, there is no such thing as fighting dirty. Stick your thumb in his eye and use weapons when he's unarmed. You can justify it all to yourself later. Don't let yourself be limited by tradition. If we all did that, we'd still live in caves. Trust your guts more than anything or anyone else in the universe. No one else knows you as well as you. Respect old people. They are really, really strong. And realize that a measure of strength is not how hard you can hit, but how hard you can get hit. When in a moral, financial, or violent crisis, do whatever it takes to survive. Don't watch daytime TV. It will only make you feel stupid. Maybe your opinion's right. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're gay. Maybe you're not. Maybe you'll divorce. Maybe you'll wind up behind a 7-Eleven mumbling to yourself. But no matter what happens, you are the only person responsible for your outcome. Not your parents. Not your culture. Not your financial status. But don't be too hard on yourself. You had to make decisions at the time. And a bad plan today is better than the best plan tomorrow. Don't play head games. Don't put up with people who play them with you. Learn who your real friends are. Friends will help you move. Real friends will help you move a body. Know where you're going and know who's coming with you. But never get that order mixed up. Be friends with your lovers, or when you get old, the two of you will have nothing. You are in charge of your own body, but be sure about what you do with it, because you're going to have it for a very long time. Stand up for people who are smaller than you, and people who are attacked emotionally and physically. They probably need your help, but they won't ask for it. Be a good guy who does bad things from time to time. But looking in the mirror is the only way that you can judge yourself and make that call. If you don't know what to do in any situation, consider the economics. Cash is not the only thing in life, but it's really, really important. Try to stop swearing. It makes you look like an idiot. But if you can figure out how to do this, let me know. Try to patch things up with your family. If it takes, great. If not, try again in 2 years, or when you feel strong enough. In the meantime, your friends will help you get by. Don't date your exes or have a long-distance relationship. It can work, but it's more treacherous than a pissed-off mink in a rabbit hole wired on Visa compound. But trust me on the body armor.
This is our world now. The world of the electron and the switch. The beauty of the bond. We exist without nationality, skin color, or religious bias. You wage wars, murder, cheat, lie to us and try to make us believe it's for our own good, yet we're the criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. Huh? Right? Manifesto? You may stop me, but you can't stop us all.
All right. So that was that's actually from the film Hackers. Well, the second part, not me going off on wear body armor. I guess that's kind of cool because Lizard had messaged and said he thought it was slick. And a lot of people, that's the big thing is that, you know, guys who've been around forever, like Zombie and Smokehouse and all those kind of guys, well, most of the crew here, the hardcore fans and stuff like that have been with the show since the days of What the Hell. They've heard all this stuff already, but there's...
It's all new. Oh, what is old is new again.
Yeah, what is old is new again. And there's nothing cooler, I think, than introducing people to, like, a guy who's into industrial music. Wow, I really dig this industrial music. Oh, you like KMFDM? Oh, I've never heard of them. Oh, come here, my friend. Something for you.
Come sit down for 5 days.
Yeah, come here. I got a new crack for you, my friend. Come over here. I got something good for you. That's very cool. And we cannot stress enough how important it is that people are like, oh, man, I'd love to do something to help the guys. You know, we get message mail all the time. Can we do anything to help? Can we do anything to help? Sure. Spam people.
tell them about
no,
the
seriously,
show.
That's the only thing is word of mouth. That's the only way that What the Hell gets around. That's how we get known is by people talking about us and thinking that we're cool.
Did you do that?
Which, oh no, yeah, as a matter of fact,
I think it's a good time to do
yeah,
it.
We Excellent. Got a cool email here. And this is from, can I say who this is from? This is from Dave.
Oh no, you've identified him.
Dave!
He's out in the open now.
Fucking run, Dave, the media's coming! Dave in Denver, Colorado sent this in. He goes, and this is about the last show, which was, I dug last night's show. I will do my best to walkify my life. I discovered you folks about 3-4 months ago and downloaded all the old What the Hell show files. My innings were full of What the Hell for quite some time now, but I managed to get through all of them and still retain some semblance of sanity. Okay.
I know, I couldn't.
That amazes me that people actually enjoyed the show.
I hear that all the time. That's I listen to all the
I
old archives.
I listen to all the shows in like,
in
people,
order.
People bought my CD
yes.
that you get from mp3.com, and they bought it, and they listened to it back-to-back in the car. I
You'd
can't
go
do that. I get too mad. I get a nosebleed and stuff. It's wacko. But this is probably the Cannibal Corpse crowd. the fans you're afraid of. Ooh, whoa. I hope that's a happy growl. You know, it's just
the
brutal.
The armada of Iron Maiden fans.
Yeah, the armada of 9-inch Iron Maiden. Yeah, it's just... brutal. He was saying that he managed to get through all of them and retain some semblance of sanity, a debatable point from his friends, but he just wants to make sure that I really have enjoyed most of your material, and Sean is a scream to listen to.
You're a scream!
I'm a scream!
Where you're from
duper.
The 50s, Dave.
He's a scream!
He's so dreamy.
He's a dreamy guy. He's a big wet whistle. I'll bet it's odd to broadcast your personal opinions to total strangers. No, I broadcast it everywhere I go. I broadcast it on Save on Foods when people steal my bananas.
Bananas!
I broadcast it when people I think are Buddhists get stabbed. I mean, I wig out of headlines. I fucking was looking at the, like...
You're very used to it.
Yeah, it's cool, though. People must email both you and Sean and act like they've known you for years.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
they don't know anything.
And they follow us everywhere we go.
Get off my leg.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I appreciate everyone. Everyone who remotely thinks that we're cool.
Are cool themselves.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like people who come up to me. It's amazing, actually. I've talked to people. And because I talk to them, they're like, wow, you're Sean Kennedy. I'm like, yeah. I am.
And
they're like, whoa, you know, when we had a Sabbath meeting and there's people who came up from like Colorado.
I know.
And I'm like, dude, I wish I had something to give you. I wish I could like give you like my coat or something. Like that you did all this for me. That's huge to me. I appreciate all of that. I really do. Sometimes I
find it amazing.
I can't like talk to everybody and do everything who talks to us, but fuck, it's so cool. And I'm just like really in awe of the whole thing. I think it's really slick. He said it must be weird because they act like they've known us for years, when in actuality they don't know you at all, or just listen to you talk about your lives and the crazy things you've done together. Keep plugging away. If Tom Green can make millions on little or no talent, you and Sean have a shot as well.
Wait. All right, did you hear that?
Wait, that didn't come out right. You know what I mean. Take care. Dave from Denver, Colorado. Very cool, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. I'm sorry, Dave.
I can't do that.
But, no, it's very cool. It's very, very cool. And that's what's important is that people, you have interaction, you know. That's the whole point of this. And you know what? I'd be kind of curious as to, I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
What do you think I'd do with millions of dollars?
evil
you
things.
Know, look how much damage I have done.
With $0.
With $0. I wonder what would happen. You know.
Evil things.
You know, I get bored, and a bored Sean is a dangerous Sean.
And like a hyperactive kid in a room full of toys.
Oh,
okay?
I'd probably start a research institute. I thought about this. I'd love to open a warehouse in Vancouver, right? Fund it, rent it, okay? Yeah. Have all this CNC and building equipment there, and I'll open source the warehouse. So whoever they want can come in and log in time, and they make
stuff
and make whatever you want, you know.
As long as they make one for you.
Yeah, and you just tell me what you want to make. What do you want to make? I want to make a tracking system that works as a phalanx to work as a rail weapon to shoot down satellites. Cool. Do I get one? Sure. Okay. You know, like, I'd love to just actually build a mecha. I think it'd be cool. I'd also, if I had millions of dollars, I'd start a motorcycle company that makes production bikes from the bike from Akira.
Oh.
And I'd sell them at a loss just to get them out there, you know.
Make all the things that come from movies for real.
Fucking cool stuff that could be made, but I don't know. Would that sell? Who cares? It's really cool. I mean, that's what I
want. I just want one. There you go.
I want one. It'd be just, oh my God, it'd be great if I had millions of dollars. Especially, you know, like, SETI, the research projects. You could buy all this abandoned shit, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It costs $100 million to scrap a destroyer. In the United States.
Whoa.
$100 million. So here's the deal. Hey, George, here's the deal. You give me $50 million and all your retired battleships, okay? I'll take 10 of them. You give me $50 million bucks a piece. I'll make sure they're, quote unquote, disposed of.
You will never see them again.
Yeah, you'll never see them again. It's all good. It's all fine. We're going to take these all apart and build the Yamato from Star Blazers. It'll be fun. Now,
if people want to get, you hear us talking about the IRC
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, people talk about the IRC. You want to get in the IRC because it's packed tonight, which is really cool.
It's awesome.
A lot of people there. We don't have a scroll bar yet, but we want to get a scroll bar.
Getting there. If you're on 640 by 480, you'll have a scroll bar.
Yeah.
But it's almost there. We're four away. We need four more people.
Four more. If everyone's in sound of my voice. That's why it's really important that you do tell people about it and distribute it and do all the good stuff.
So here's how to get in contact with us.
Okay.
Email me, info@rantradio.com, if you want to send us like little letters like that praising us. ICQ me, 51-555-8-515-558. Or if you just want to come in right now and chat with us or chat with other people listening, we're in the IRC on the other side servers in the Rant Radio channel. Or you can go to the webpage and click on chat. www.rantradio.com. There you go. Everyone can post that in the IRC if they want.
I'm probably going to regret doing this, but if people want to get in touch with me...
not again, Sean! I don't want to have to find out your new email address. Don't do it. I'll pass you the good stuff.
I was just going to put up my ICQ number.
Then you're going to change it. You'll always be offline. Don't do it! It'll drive me crazy.
Oh, okay.
Please.
I was going to give out... my ICQ number, but I'm not going to...
You don't want it. You remember what happened last time.
Well, no, but it's nice. You know,
yeah, I know.
Talking to people. But it's true.
If you want, go ahead.
No, it's true. It's
but
true.
You know what'll happen.
I go online and like 50 million
ding,
people.
Ding, ding, ding,
hi,
ding, ding.
What are you doing? I'm answering all these ICQ messages. That's what I'm doing. Fuck off. You know. And you don't want to be a dank because there are people who think you're cool, right? Yeah. But I'd have no problem in a crowd. I've often said this. You know, if you were really fucking famous, like Princess Di level famous.
Okay, most famous in the world.
Like famous, psycho famous.
I wouldn't want it.
No, I have a way of dealing with it that has not been tried. You stand very still.
Tell me? Okay. You get mobbed. Your clothes get ripped off. You're naked in the street. People take your fingernails because they think it's a souvenir, okay? Your hair, ripping it out.
I don't think they'll actually do that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen, like, things in the Backstreet Boys where the girls rock the bus, okay? If they actually went outside the bus,
yeah, but those are Backstreet Boys
fans. Left. I know.
That would be so justice, though, to have the Backstreet Boys ripped to shreds by their fans.
that would be cool.
That would be very cool.
But imagine what would happen to you at that kind of level.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd steal anything on you. All your equipment.
Okay, well, you'd have to have
your glasses.
You'd have to have, yeah, that
they'd
would
be fighting.
That'd be on eBay. Sean is on eBay.
Sean himself.
Sean's ear. People will be trying to clone me.
They come off easy, right? The ears, that's true.
Anyone who plays rugby. But, no, that'd be weird. But I think the paparazzi, you know, like they're all...
Okay, paparazzi's totally different than
fans. Yeah, I just stand there, and eventually they take a bunch of pictures of you standing there. And then they don't want to take more pictures, and you're like, go away. And eventually they'll wander off, you know, because...
Just stare at them.
Just stare at them.
Same
I'm
picture over.
Talking.
Whenever paparazzi come by, give the exact same pose every time, like straight up and down or something.
Yeah.
They'll never take a picture of you again because they'll never get any different pictures.
Yeah, and I think that would be a good way to defeat them. I think that's my social engineering way of dealing with paparazzi. What
there you
the
go.
Fuck? How did they get press get the name paparazzi? What's that about?
Probably some foreign language.
Thing for
paparazzo or something. I watched something on the news about it the other time about tabloids and blah, blah, blah. It's from a different language.
Speaking of tabloids,
yeah.
I'm not one to quote tabloid headlines.
But. What?
When the tabloid, okay, in the Sun this week, okay,
yep.
The tabloid was that the prince, okay, she was saying that Di had a lover and the guy isn't royalty. And
Dodie?
The one of the kids.
Oh, okay.
It actually looks more like this friend of the princess, so the princess had an affair, and this guy isn't like a true blood royalty.
Okay.
And I'm like, and that was the headline.
That's pretty reaching, isn't it?
And I'm like,
stretching. She's been dead for years.
Well, not only that, but it's like, you're fucking with the lineage of Britain here.
They get really mad.
They get really pissed with that kind of thing.
That's all they have, Sean.
And then the next one was Dolly Parton had an affair with a 15-year-old boy. And I'm like,
it's for entertainment purposes.
Wow,
only.
I bet he's happy, but because every 15-year-old boy is into breasts. But I mean, you know,
could dive into them.
He's kind of in the 40-plus club there. But I mean, it's a little scary because you're like looking at that, going, "Whoa, man, is that what you got to do? You've got to take celebrities and turn them into pedophiles."
That is nasty, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and I'm just like, I mean,
for headlines.
Whatever, I mean, the Weekly World News, I mean, God love them. And they got Bat Boy and
Bat Boy.
They're so far over the top. And God love those guys. You know, they're great. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to be part of the reality where you actually believe that stuff. You know?
Wouldn't that be great?
Sure, you'd be a Scientologist. And then,
more believable than what they believe.
Oh, my God, WD-40 really can help my arthritis. And, yeah, you know, just brutal stuff like that. I don't know. I just, there's a lot of shit that's going on in the media now. Like, okay, the number two song in Vancouver right now on XFM is that "Hey Mister, I Really Dig Your Daughter."
Oh God,
that's
okay.
That totally abusive song towards women. It's like Andrew Dice Clay
beat her
song.
Up and raped her, and what are you gonna do
hey,
about
mister,
it? Fuck you!
I really wanna, you know, fuck your daughter, and I'm like. Like, and I want to run up your credit cards and shit on your bug and make water sports videos and, like, what the hell is this, you
number
know?
Number two.
Yeah, and it's number two in Vancouver. Fuck off. You know, fuck you. I don't believe that. That's just garbage.
You always watch those futuristic TV shows, and that's kind of music they play on those futuristic TV shows.
Yeah, you know.
It's all coming true.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I dig that. Like, the futuristic music from, like, Max Headroom back in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was cool. You know, that's an awesome series.
But, was it the music, like, we're playing in the background, just sort of electronic? I can't remember what it was like.
It was all like... And like kind of
industrial?
A really, yeah, it's kind of an industrial feel to it.
Excellent.
So, Cult of the Dead Cow. Getting back. These are the big names.
Oh, back to the show.
Back to the show. Back to the show. The Cult of the Dead Cow, because it's 9:22. This is probably going to be my longest running show yet. Holy crap.
I've got enough tape.
Good for, oh, that's all that matters.
Yes, that is.
Cult of the Dead Cow. Everyone's heard of the Cult of the Dead Cow. Cult of the Dead Cow claims to be the oldest group still active in the computer underground, which it probably is.
85?
Yeah, since 1985. That's a pretty good go.
Pretty old.
The only one with its own annual convention, which is HoHoCon. Okay? It also claims to have disrupted communications in two continents by moving telecommunications satellites. So they've apparently claimed they've actually taken out satellites and moved them, and have altered the environmental controls and local shopping malls by computer modems. So they claim that they've logged into the shopping mall and turned the heat up.
That's not too far-fetched.
No, that's not too far-fetched. We're getting near the hacker and the net level of stuff there, but that could be true. Could be true, because some of them have that.
Oh, yeah.
Another big name is Richard Stallman, whose handle is none. He doesn't have one. He doesn't go by a handle. His claim to fame is he's the hacker from the old school. Stallman walked off the street and got a job at MIT's Artificial Intelligence Lab in 1971. He was an undergraduate at Harvard at the time and disturbed that software was viewed as private property. Stallman later founded the Free Software Foundation.
Very cool.
Okay, so he walked off the street into MIT and said, "Give me a job," and he got one.
Well, he was at Harvard, so...
Yeah, so
not
he kind of
really
knows, he knows his shit. First encountered a computer in 1969 at the IBM New York Scientific Center. He was 16 years old at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Unusual tools. In the 1980s, Stallman left MIT's payroll but continued to work from an office at MIT. Here he created a new operating system called GNU, short for GNUs, not Unix. So Stallman is the guy who brought the whole GNU thing. That's Richard Stallman.
Wow.
One of the gods. Little known fact about this guy is he's a recipient of a $240,000 MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant.
A genius grant?
No. Yeah, because he's like a freaking genius.
Yeah. Well, deserves it.
Now, not Denise Richards, but Dennis Ritchie and Ken Thompson, who go by the handles DMR and Ken.
Ooh, Ken. Ooh. Stealthy.
Claim to fame, the driving creative force behind Bell Labs' legendary computer science operating system, Bell Science operating group, Ritchie and Thompson created Unix in 1969. Oh, so you know a bit about computers then. An elegant open source system for microcomputers, Unix helped users with general computing, word processing, and networking, and soon became a standard language. So those two guys invented Unix. How core are you?
A little bit.
Unusual tools they used. One was Plan 9, the next generation operating system created as the natural descendant of Unix by Thompson and Bell Labs colleagues Rob Pike. So that's an unusual tool. Little known fact, although Ritchie is the author of a popular C programming language. Oh, yeah. He wrote C as well. Yeah.
By the way.
His favorite language is Aleph. Yeah, we're getting really anal here. Thompson, an amateur pilot, once traveled to Moscow to fly a MiG-29, which would be very fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
So you go and do that. Now, we have John Draper, the famous Captain Crunch.
Yes, I'm sure most people have heard about this guy.
Captain Crunch, his name is John Draper. His claim to fame is he figured out how to make free phone calls using a plastic whistle he found in a cereal box. And you can still get the original Captain Crunch whistles on eBay.
Oh, I bet they come with a price tag.
Yeah, they usually go pretty good, but they exist.
Yep.
Captain Crunch introduced generations of hackers to the little glorious concept of phone phreaking.
Which the plastic whistles makes the 2600 tone.
Yeah, it makes the 2600
tone.
The
magazine 2600.
Bingo.
Blah, blah, blah.
He first encountered a computer as a teenager trying to convince payphones to return his coin. And put through his call. He's actually trying to convince a payphone. You phone, give me that thing back. Unusual tools. A toy whistle from the box of Captain Crunch cereal. The whistle reproduces the 2600 hertz tone necessary to authorize a call. Used in conjunction with a blue box, it allows users to make free phone calls. Oscar Mayer's wiener whistles also briefly gained a following among phone freakers. So you
but the handle never caught on.
Yeah,
I'm a wiener.
Little known fact, he was honorably discharged from the U.S. Air Force in 1968 after a stint in Vietnam. So Captain Crunch is a vet.
Uh-huh.
Don't fuck with Captain Crunch.
He will kick your ass.
Then we have Mark Abin. Everyone knows him as Fiber Optic, as his claim to fame was as a founding member of the Masters of Deception. Fiber Optic inspired thousands of teenagers around the company to study the internal workings of our nation's phone system. A federal judge attempted to send a message to other hackers by sentencing Fiber to a year in federal prison, but the message got garbled. Hundreds of well-wishers attended a welcome home party in Ebbing's honor and an elite Manhattan club. Soon after, New York Magazine dubbed him one of the city's 100 smartest people.
And he is, I believe, regularly on the show Off the Hook.
Yeah, he is. He's
with
on, he's on
Emmanuel
Off the
Goldstein.
Yeah,
the guy behind 2600 magazine.
Yeah, so that's the gig with Fiber Optic. That's his big thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Morris. Actually, I may as well go over a couple other things about Fiber Optic. It's an interesting thing here. First encountered a computer hanging out in the electronics department at the A&S department store in Queens, where his mother worked. He was introduced to the Apple II and the Timex Sinclair and the Commodore 64. And his first computer he owned was a Radio Shack TRS-80, Trash 80, you bet, baby.
A lot of people's first computers, too.
His unusual tools he used was experimenting by dialing patterns on phone receiver. Abney used a receiver so frequently that it had to be bandaged with black electrical tape to keep its guts from falling out. He pounded the phone receiver to death. His favorite food is mashed potatoes from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Not real mashed potatoes. The real ones have lumps in them.
Whoa. Next issue of Teen Beat.
Yeah, Robert Morris. Now, this guy's interesting. Robert Morris, his handle is RTM. His claim to fame was he was the son of a chief scientist at the National Computer Security Center. Part of the NSA.
There's an in.
This Cornell University graduate student introduced the word hacker into the vernacular when he accidentally unleashed the internet worm in 1988. Holy shit! This was the guy who he was the son of the chief scientist of the NSA? You're so bitched!
That's so funny.
Thousands of computers were infected and subsequently crashed. You're done!
It was a really, really good worm.
Oops.
I think it crashed the whole internet.
He first encountered a computer at home. His Morris's father had brought one home, one of the original Enigma cryptographic machines from the NSA. It became the household conversation piece.
That'd be cool to have.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Holy crap. As a teenager, his unusual tool was he had an account on Bell Labs computer network, where early hacking forays gave him super user status. You're so screwed, man. When your dad's the head of the NSA, what are you doing? Little known fact, when the Secret Service raided the home of the Legion of Doom member, Eric Bloodaxe, in 1990, they found a copy of the source code for Morris's internet worm. Then we have Kevin Mitnick, whose online handle, does anyone know it?
I never knew that before.
Yeah, his online handle was actually Condor. I did know that.
Really? Yeah. He's just so famous by his real name.
That's right.
He doesn't even need Condor.
But he went by Condor, and he was the first hacker to have his face immortalized on the FBI's most wanted poster.
That's a lie.
It is? First hacker?
Okay, that's true. It's not that he didn't make the top 10, which everyone said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's always... he was the first one in the FBI's most wanted top 10 or something. There's something about that. Maybe.
But that may be off?
Yeah, that may be off.
His status as a repeat offender, a teenage hacker who couldn't grow up, earned Mitnick the nickname the Lost Boy of Cyberspace. That's making reference, of course, to the Peter Pan stuff. First encounter a computer as a teenager, Mitnick couldn't afford a computer, so he hung out at Radio Shack. He used the store's demo models and a modem to dial other computers. Wow.
Good use for Radio Shack, I
hacked out from Radio Shack.
I'm a Radio Shack hacker.
Unusual tools. During 3 years, he was on the LAN. While he was on the LAN, which means he's running, Mitnick used the Internet Relay Chat, IRC, as a message drop to communicate with his friends. Oh. So IRC was his chosen method of communication.
Still well used by hackers.
You betcha. Little known fact, sentenced to a year in residential treatment center, Mitnick enrolled in a 12-step program to rid himself of what a judge agreed was his computer addiction.
Send me to jail.
Which Hackers came out before then. But that's what they did in the movie Hackers. They said, I'm addicted to my computer.
I want to see the 12 steps of that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that 12 steps.
How to get off computers.
Then we have Johan Helsingus. I'm probably fucking murdering that. and this guy's handle was Julf, J-U-L-F, and operated the world's most popular anonymous remailer called Pennant.fi until he closed up shop in September of 96. Helsinga's trouble started when he was raided by 95 by Finnish police after the Church of Scientology complained that the Pennant FI customer was reposting the church's secrets on the net. So that's how the Church of Scientology attacked the hacker subculture. Yeah, that's why. We're wogs. We'll have Mecca. We'll destroy you all.
Pennant FI, I remember
that. Yeah, that's right. World's most popular emailer shut down by Scientology. Yeah, please download and listen to the last show. Helsingus mothballed the remailer after a Finnish court ruled he must reveal the customer's real email address.
You must. Why?
So he was saying, no, because they were posting the church secrets. The church said, no, you're killing us. And they said, you must reveal it. And he said, screw you, I'm turning it off.
Yep.
And he erased everything. So balls deep to you, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I was running a remailer, and he said, nah, fuck you, he's going to risk jail time. That's awesome.
Yes.
Unusual tools is he ran the world's biggest remailer on a run-of-the-mill 46 with a 200 megabyte hard drive.
Rock on.
Good uses of old tech. Little known fact is he never felt the need himself to post it anonymously.
Really? He's never used his own technology.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite guys, this Jolf guy.
That's very cool.
Yeah, he's very cool. He's the shit. So when you talk about guys who are the shit, then we have Vladimir Levin. He's that Russian kid who claimed to fame. A graduate of St. Petersburg Technology University, his mathematician allegedly masterminded the Russian hacker gang that tricked Citibank's computers into spitting out $10 million.
Good job.
Levin was arrested by Scotland Yard and Computer Crime Unit, based in the United States Federal Warrant, at Heathrow Airport 95. He was later extradited to the United States to stand trial for bank fraud and wire fraud. Wire fraud. First encounter computer unknown, accused of using his office computer at Aeon Saturn in St. Petersburg, Russia, a computer firm to break into Citibank. Unusual tools he used along with a computer, computer games and disc. Russian police confiscated a camcorder, music speakers, and a TV set from Levin's apartment.
Those evil TVs.
Okay, why is that even mentioned? That's just retarded.
Yes.
Levin claimed that one of the lawyers assigned him to defend him was actually an FBI agent. That was a pretty good.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it just goes on from there. There's a whole ton of information out there on the web. Like, this has just been, like, I've run way over. I'm 9:34. This is the longest show I've done so far.
And even then, lab rats, like, criticizing, what about this guy? What about this
guy?
Yeah,
and there's a ton of, what about Paul Stur and what about Agent Steel, Super Nigger, Scorpion, Hynex, Freak, Hack, Tom Skerr, and The Wing. All these guys, there's a ton of these guys.
We could talk forever.
Okay.
I mean,
we're talking.
Listen to Off the Hook. That's all they talk about. Okay?
I mean, this is their whole world. This is
skimming.
This is just a skim so that people know where to go to get more information. There's I found the Hacker Crackdown by Bruce Sterling. Bruce Sterling wrote Islands in the Net. He now writes for Wired magazines. Doing like office furniture reviews.
The magazine we were in.
Yeah, we were in Wired. So I guess I can't diss it.
They were nice to us. They gave us a tiny, tiny little
They were
column.
Nice to us. Yeah, Wired's okay. But anyway, Bruce Sterling, I kind of like Bruce Sterling. I didn't like Islands in the Net, though. I mean, his main character was a woman, which wasn't bad, but like the end of the book, you're rooting for her, and things get all weird. And Enki was telling me that he's as gay as the day is long, and that's probably why he had it end like that, because he does some weird stuff with sexuality, and I'm just like, whatever, man. Like, I don't want soap operas in my cyberpunk book. Like, whatever. But if you want to get into this, you can read The Hacker Crackdown, which I've read.
Yeah.
Awesome book, and it's the whole book's available online at this in the IRC right now. Here you go. That's the entire book. Read that whole book. This talks about Operation Sun Devil. Everything I've covered there, you'll be good to go. Okay, there's a ton of information out there. If you want to know a little bit more just about Operation Sun Devil, we're going to put a thing in the IRC right now, and that gives you it's a little dry, but if you're into reading about hacker stuff, well, you'll see that there's a lot of dry stuff that is out there.
And it's computers, okay?
Now, and if you, there's a book which I found out about. Now, this is an interesting book, okay? And the book is called Approaching Zero: The Extraordinary Underworld of Hackers, Freakers, Virus Writers, and Keyboard Criminals. And that's by Paul Mungo and Brian Klo. It's published by Random House in New York. It was published originally in 1992. It's 243 pages and generally runs for about $22. Okay, if you can get your hand on it. But apparently, from the book reviews I've read on this, now I have not read this one myself. Mm-hmm. But the book reviews I've read on it is it's very scathing, very to the point, almost to the point of being illegal. It's really reveals a lot of information. You might want to check this out. So
I think a lot of these guys can help you out with some books that we're mentioning here. I know Lab Rat's mentioning that he can help out with these books if you don't have any money to pay for them. And Tantrix, I know he downloaded a lot of books the other day, e-books. So talk to those two guys.
You bet. And in the Rant Radio channel here, I mean, everybody's friends. We're all wogs. And, when the Church of Scientology is shutting down anonymous remailers because they don't want information getting around,
come together.
That's why you want to be a WOG.
Yeah.
You're free to copy and distribute this program any way you want. Make sure that you can record and distribute this. That's a big thing. I'm just going to run through the IRC right now, so you have a couple of seconds to go through the IRC. And I'm going to give a plug for Smokehouse's Rabid fan page, which he made for me. We're going to put a link for that in the IRC,
okay,
too.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, Smokehouse made this fan page for
Smokehouse
me.
Smokehouse is insane.
Smokehouse is scaring me. I'm glad he lives from very far away. You know,
he'd be knocking at your window at night.
Yeah, he'd be, Sean, I need to tell you something. You know, I go to sleep with my wife, wake up next morning, someone else is in the bed. Ah!
Just, that you need to company.
So you might want to check this out. That's in the IRC, too. And
yeah,
if you,
just put it there. Check that out.
Very cool. It's got everything about my life. It's a little frightening.
Oh, my God. There's stuff in there I didn't think he'd put in there.
Yeah. It's just bad. So going down from the top, who all stuck around for the whole show? Get in there now.
The scary thing is I've got more.
Do you? Well, I'm not surprised.
Of course.
Yeah. We got Homer, Smokey owns Sean.
Smokey's my bastard.
Oh, Smokey.
Art. Atarv, Corellian, Creektop, Dacid, AFK, Deckerbite, Delamorte. Oh, here we go. They're all jumping in now. Atarv, Corellian, Crazy Soul, Creektop, Dacid, AFK, Deckerbite, Delamorte, Dr. Zodiac, who I haven't seen him in a while, Down Halo, Wog, Dox. Hi, Dox. I don't think I've seen you before. Enki, Girl on the Left. Hi. Kexler, Kadath. Hey, Kadath. Girl on the Left.
All right.
Crazy Fuck, Lizard, Lieutenant Major Mulder, Nomad Half Elf, Ophi Dopey, good to see ya, Pele, Poison Cheeto, one of my favorite handles of all time, Prophet Zero, RCD Disturbed, Red 5,
Our Red 5.
Rooster, Tanthrix, Test Subject, The Wind Down, Transistor, Unix, Uberwog, Who Even Cares, Wog This Morning, Zootroy, and Lab Rat. The Wind Down's very cool. The Wind Down's on after us. What's The Wind Down all about?
He used to be on the radio station a couple years ago, 3 years ago.
This is a whack job.
Yeah.
who like ran a 24-hour show by himself.
If you really read back in the Rant Radio archives, like delve back into like 1999, and
yeah,
you'll read about him. He was called I don't know what he was called back then.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
The
show's on in about 3 hours. If you guys are up, it's the wind down. It's like winding down from the week, something to start your week with if you're like a late-night hacker.
Yeah.
It all ties in.
Yeah, it all ties
late-night hacker. Just give a listen to them. They're entertainment. He did a 24-hour show.
By himself.
All by himself.
Crack.
I mean, it was brutal enough. We beat him by 2 hours, but you know,
yeah,
we had to.
I went like 7 hours. Mind you, I'm pretty high energy when I'm doing this stuff, but like I went like 7 hours and I fell over. But yeah, it was just bad. It was just bad. But you are absolutely 100% able to copy and distribute this any way you see fit. Please. Expose the show to your friends. That's the number one thing you can do to help us and to give us power.
Yes.
Because the more people that we have that are fans of the show, who get involved with the show, then other people will come to us and eventually we might wind up on a radio station or something else.
That you could listen to other than the internet or the TV or something.
Nobody's forgotten. Nobody's forgotten. I really appreciate everything that everybody's done. It's been very cool. And
thanks for coming back.
You bet. It's very cool, actually. It means a lot to me, for sure. And, you know, we wogs have to look after each other. So until next week we're here. I'm going to try to put this together. I don't know for sure. Should I even say what I'm going to say?
No, I wouldn't.
Next week's going to be cool, though. Next week's
no matter what it is.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool.
If it works out, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, we might have a couple of guests next week if I can work it out. So we will talk to you all then, and take care.
Yeah, and Sean's TV show should be out in a couple weeks. I'm going to put that together.
Are you?
SKTFM.TV if you want to see Sean's face.
Episode,
his ugly mug all over your computer
SKTFM.
Screen.
SKTFM.TV. You can download my SKTFM.
There's six episodes right now if you want to go watch those.
Yeah, all free to be downloaded and easily distributed. A lot of people asked me and said, what was on the discs you were handing out?
Oh, yeah, they asked me that too. It's like
on Burning Man, what was on the discs? What they were other episodes of SKTFM.
One and two.
Yeah,
because, well,
and two.
Three couldn't be on there because, well, we're at three at the time.
The next one that's going to go up there is going to be very, very cool.
You're going to like it. It ties into the show.
It ties into the show. We have some interesting
things.
Phone stuff.
Phone stuff
on there. And also, you may notice that there's a lot of, like, there's not so much ass jokes and peeing out my ass jokes these shows.
Where'd they all go?
I think we ran out. After 4 years of doing this, how long have we been doing this? How long have we been running the shows?
Well, this was started February 3rd, 1999. So
2-3 years.
3 years.
So after
over 3 years,
we're out of ass jokes. And
all out of ass.
All out of ass. That's a lot of ass. But no, seriously, we want to keep the content up. We want to make sure that after you're done you turn the box off, and maybe you might have something has sunk in somewhere.
Maybe.
You bunch of thick wogs. All right. Anyway. Well,
go to bed. Let it sink in. Don't watch TV, okay?
Meditate on the sound of my voice. Take the thetans into your body.
Absorb more thetans.
You betcha.
Okay.
You betcha. Design your mecca. See who's watching.
Yeah, send it in. info@rantradio.com. Design your mecca, your wog mecca, to take down the Scientologists.
And every wog mecca is going to have anonymous email remailer.
That's right.
Built into the wireless LAN. You betcha.
You can all connect together.
You betcha. Okay, so until next time, wog power.
Wog.
The government will get it. The government gets your
mom to talk against the government, Roger.
So you say you gotta know why the world goes around, and you can't find the truth in the things you found, and you're scared shitless cause evil abounds. Come join us. Well, I heard you were looking for a place to fit in, for a better way to people with the same as you give. A family to do and all brethren, come join us. All we wanna do is change your mind. All you need to do is close your eyes.
afraid it's gonna come.